and declare unto you. We heard it from him. We're telling you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now he says, if we, he was saved, was a born again believer in Christ. So this context is believers, you and I as believers. But it's not saying we're going to hell. It says, if we say we have fellowship, in other words, we're enjoying the abundant life, all that God has intended for us. But we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So the context here is walking in the light. What is the light? Well, Jesus is the light. We know that. Verse 5 tells us that God is light, and light and darkness don't mix. You don't have one with the other. If you have darkness and you snap on a light switch, you've got light. You no longer have darkness. It's one or the other, you see. They don't mix together. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 tells us that. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What communion? What connection? What interchange? What do they share in common? The answer is none. There is nothing. There is no communion, light with darkness. So, yes, you're saved. You're born again. You're going to heaven because of Christ. Hallelujah. But if you're living in day to day in darkness and making decisions according to your desires, the flesh, or your own mind, your own thinking outside of the light, and by the way, this is the light. Then you're walking in darkness, and like it says, you deceive your own selves. You wonder why you're not enjoying the abundant life. We're encouraged here by John. Walk in light as he is in the light. Ephesians 5, verse 8 says, for ye were, past tense, sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See? You were in darkness, blind to your sins, living life for yourself, and you're headed for hell. But you got saved and trusted Christ because you saw and accepted the gospel light and asked the Lord to forgive you. So you're a child of light now. And the encouragement, the direction is walk in light. Walk according to the word of God. See? In the darkness, one might walk behind his house and stumble. Outside of having a flashlight. But with the flashlight, he has light. The light guides him. The light protects him. He needs to walk in the light, lest he fall. See? That's the instruction he's giving. You're walking in the light with righteousness, making good decisions. Jesus is the light. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Follow him. He is the light. He is the living word. John 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So here the context is not salvation. The context is living the life. Walking in light or walking in darkness, always a choice. God forces nobody to be saved. He forces nobody to come to a place of repentance before God. Please forgive me, a sinner. I place my faith in Christ to save my soul. He forces no one. Free choice. It's a gift of God. Like any gift, we can either receive the gift or we can reject the gift. Many have rejected the gift of God and salvation. But beyond salvation, we're to be walking in the light, not abiding in darkness. See, because we're children of light. Psalm 18, 28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And Jesus is Lord. He is God. He is this living word. And he has given this light. And this is far better than any flashlight. How do we follow the light, the Lord Jesus, whom we cannot see? By following the written word. That's what he's talking about. Now, John indeed walked and talked with Jesus. He was here on this planet. And he walked and lived among men. And we beheld his glory as that of the only begotten of the Father, John 1 tells us. But we don't have Jesus here. We don't physically have Jesus here. But he left himself here in his word. This is the light. This is the light. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, Word, capitalized. Capital W. Why? Referring to Jesus. Verse 14 of John 1. And the Word, capital W, the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came down here. He was light, is light, and provides us light. Light guides, light directs, and light makes the path clear. Have you ever gone down the road, a dark road, and were inclined to turn your headlights out? Now we're going back to your teenage years, aren't we? Yeah. A little freaky, scary, because you have so much light and then there's no light. And I want to tell you, you only do that on a straightaway. No, I should rephrase that. You never do that. Don't do that. But the darkness is intense. All of a sudden, you could see clearly before, but where there's no light, there's darkness. How do you live for Christ and have fellowship with God and you don't read the Bible? It's like, turn your headlights out. We all want the abundant life, but you got to turn the light on. You have to be in the Bible. You have to live according to light, lest you walk in darkness. Psalm 119, verse 130 says this, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It's all we need is this book. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My feet, where I go. My path, my direction in life. It's a light. It guides. I remember, and I'll never forget it, but we had one of our outreach programs. We had Halloween one time. Was what they call trunk or treat. And we invited people in, and a whole bunch of us brought our vehicles, and we had our trunks open. And people were invited to come, and each trunk, I mean, it was candies and stuff. So, as opposed to going to each house, you know, trick or treat, which they were all doing. We're inviting them here, and we were offering free Bibles, and trying to reach people for Christ. And develop a relationship with them and give them tracts. Well, I had gotten this big box, and I cut it out for my armholes and my head hole, and it was a box, and I spray-painted the whole thing black, and then I wrote in gold, the Holy Bible, on the box, see? And I would approach the people and say, and give them a Bible. Thanks for coming. Here's a free Bible. Thanks for coming. Here's a free Bible. Well, one of the things going on was behind the Cram's truck, Chad had a light, and it was right down on a table they had out there, and they were carving pumpkins. Isn't that right? Carving pumpkins. This is some years ago. So some of our kids are around the table, and they're carving the pumpkins. And anyhow, I come over to just interact with the kids and compliment them on how they're doing with their pumpkins and everything. And in my talking, I didn't know, but I'd walked over and I'd actually gotten in front of the lamp, the spotlight. And as soon as I did, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm blocking the light. And one of the kids, little Daniel Smith, sitting there, he says, because I'm the Bible, right? He says, you are the light. How insightful. I never forget that. The Bible is the light. If we'd see that, we'd be more encouraged to read it and to apply it, that we might enjoy the abundant life Jesus talks about. God's light reveals sin. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Ever get a bug in the house, maybe at night? You hear that stupid mosquito flying? You can't see him. You know where he is. So you flip the light on. There he is. And you go nail him. You need light to do that. Light makes manifest. See? And perhaps that's part of the reason some believers don't read the light. They're not in their Bible. Because this is like a mirror. And it shows you for who you are. And it's like a light being cast on your sins. The sins, what you do commit that you shouldn't. What you don't do that you should. And as you're reading, the Spirit of God speaks to you. And it can be uncomfortable. It can bring conviction. I don't do that. I know I should. Conviction. Uncomfortable. See? Well, if I don't read that, then I don't feel uncomfortable. I believe many don't do it for that reason. Because the Bible tells us where we err. It makes manifest. John 3, verses 19 to 21. Turn there, if you would. I know I quote many of the verses for time's sake. I trust you write the references down and visit these things when you have time or when you study. But I'd like you to see this one in John 3. And notice these three verses. Verse 19. John 3, 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. It's pretty hard to feel proud and clean standing next to Jesus. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So there's choices to be made every day. You're going to do that which is good, and that you wouldn't mind light shining on it, or doing that which is evil. And the Bible says men love darkness rather than evil. That's referring to the carnal, natural man. And it's in every one of us. We don't seek to sin in public. Everybody that comes to church puts on their best foot forward, don't they? We smile, we're good, and we're holy. Even Mark is holy. You know? But away from here, away from your home, away from your family, when you're out in life, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you looking at? See? Are they deeds that you would like light cast upon, that all may see? Well, you don't have to be fearful of that. If you're walking in the light, let the light shine. I have nothing to hide. That provides for a joy and a peace of transparency, part of the abundant life. The non-abundant life is always hiding, has an agenda, can't let anyone else know. See, that hidden man, the hidden deeds, the hidden thoughts. What a burden. What a heaviness. As opposed to the one who lives in transparency. Because he walks in the light. I'll even quote Plato this morning. "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light." I don't know if he was referring to this. But mind you, this is the light. And we should love as children of light to come to the light, that we might make the decisions to walk in light. Psalm 43:3 said this, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Here the psalmist David is saying, I need the word of God. I need your light, your guidance. else we're just groping through the night. We need the light of this book. Good intentions don't cut it. We need to be in the book. So the abundant life comes from walking in the light. Another point, another condition that John says, you want to enjoy the abundant life? Well, be sure to walk in the light. But number two, confess sin. Now, wait a minute. If I'm walking in the light, I don't have to confess sin. There is nobody that walks in perfect light. There's nobody here that is sinless. And so now, and the verses will tell us that. Notice with me, let's follow verses 8. 1 John 1, verse 8. Oh, excuse me. Is that the one? Yes, it is. All the way to chapter 2, verse 2. So there's only a few verses here. 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There's no light in us. My little children, chapter 2, verse 1. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. Live clean. Live according to the light. As a child of light, walk in the light. See? And if any man sin, and I think there's a little bit of humor there, because we know man sins. It's not an if. If any will sin. No, we all sin. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the expiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we have a means of taking care of the sins when we step into darkness, when you do that which is not pleasing to God, he's commanded us not to do, or sins of omission, that which God has told us to do and we refuse to do it. Sin. We have a means of attaining forgiveness for it. And it's called confession. Confession. To acknowledge before a holy God, to agree with God that what I did, what I said, that was commanded not to do, is wrong. Or you told me to do it and I did not. I don't do it. I won't do it. That's my attitude. I've been in sin. That's wrong. I come into agreement and acknowledgement I've sinned. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our... So there's a conditional word there. Hey, fish swim, except for the fish I ate yesterday. Birds fly, dogs bark, and newsflash, sinners sin. Yeah. You did not become perfectly sinless when you trusted Christ as Savior. As long as we live in these, in the flesh, in these mortal bodies that will someday be corrupted, we'll put on incorruption. We'll put on immortality, 1 Corinthians tells us. We are all sinners. Romans 3, 10 to 12 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I think he's making a point. Every one of us. There's not one of us say, I don't sin. No, I got saved such a day. I haven't sinned since. Well, you just did again. We'll call that a lie. Sin. All of us. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is foundational that a person to be saved must understand that. But for the Christian, the born-again believer, as he strives to walk in the light, though he fall, and he does fall, there's an acknowledgement by God. There is a means of having it forgiven. It's a confession. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid the iniquity, all of our sins, upon Jesus on that tree. But we're all sinners. In fact, to say otherwise is to lie to ourselves. And in our text, we read verse 8, 1 John 1, 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. All right, so I'm a sinner. But I need to take care of my sin. If and when I sin. So first he says, don't sin, right? My little children, chapter 2, verse 1. these things write unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. Keep a light on bright and don't sin. See? But if and when you do sin, confess it. Deal with it. Keep short accounts. Numbers 32:23 gives us warning, an admonition. Numbers 32:23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin is not always covered in darkness. Don't think that though the devil make you feel like you can always keep a secret, it shall be made manifest. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's the instruction of the Word of God. We might as well admit it and confess it. Otherwise, we'll be miserable like David. Oh, Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. Remember, we've read this before. David's great confessions of sin, particularly with Bathsheba and having her husband killed, murder, Uriah the Hittite, the great soldier, faithful and loyal to him and his army. So adultery and murder, his sin. He came, in Psalm 51 is recorded, one of the greatest excerpts of confession and what he was before and how he was made to feel afterwards. Confession is so good, so healthy. Well, there's another psalm that goes with it, at least the first several verses of Psalm 32. I'll read you a few verses, a couple verses. Psalm 32, verse 3 says, when I kept silence. This is David saying, when I kept silence, when I didn't address it. He says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. He was burdened with his sins. They were crushing him. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Now it goes on to explain that, you know, when he confessed his sins, that everything was different. But sin, Christians at times, they just carry the sin over and over and compound with other sins. And they're not walking in light, but in darkness. We're to walk in light and we're to seek forgiveness when we mess up. Mercy, forgiveness, and cleansing are promised to those who confess, 1 John 1:9. If, conditional word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. Clean slate. Now, you know, we that are older, we had chalkboards with chalk. Now it's all whiteboards with markers and this and that. Anyhow, maybe you had the duty of cleaning the board. You know, one thing is erasing the board, but the eraser always left powder and whatnot, didn't it? And it seemed like most classrooms, the teacher would have one person that would do, maybe on a schedule, rotating schedule, whatever, and get a wet cloth, and you would wipe that board. You'd wash it. And it looked so nice and clean when it was done. And it was wonderful. You started the next day, it was a clean board. That's what this will do for you if you confess. Clean your slate. Unburden you. David says, when I was silent, when I wouldn't admit it, when I wouldn't confess that it was heavy, your hand was heavy upon me. And my moisture was as the drought of summer. There's an awful feeling living in sin. A couple more thoughts here. We'll finish at least the second point, continue next week. Be careful. It's easy to get used to sin. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Notice this phrase, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience seared. No longer was their conscience soft and sensitive to right and wrong. It was seared, gone. So now they're living, there's some, you may know some Christians, they're living out in the world like they were never saved. How can that be? Their conscience has been seared. They've not walked in the light and they've not confessed sin. And by the way, they have not the joys that God has promised with the abundant life. So we need to be careful. A clear conscience is a wonderful thing. Psalm 32, we'd read about with David, how he said, you know, it waxed heavy upon me when he was in sin, when he was silent. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I came clean. I confessed my sins. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. What a change. God's waiting for us to confess sin. There's no living the abundant life if we're not in constant, as we sin, confessing to God, acknowledging, I messed up yet again. I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In spite of my sinful wickedness, there's a loving Father up there who's just waiting to forgive. Plenteous in mercy, ready to forgive. The abundant life comes from walking in the light. It comes from confessing sin. But wait, there's more. Next week, Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Encourage us, guide us, and direct us. Pray you bless the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.